We've already seen in the chapter 26, Jesus predicting what will happen today. Now we come upon it directly. And we're going to really be looking at Peter as an example of two things for us. First, the danger of what we can do denying Jesus. And then usually it's related to just fear and surprise. And then secondly, we want to look at the example of his repentance and that we can be restored. So repentance unto life will be much of the focus of our study this morning in the scriptures. Peter as our example. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. May God bless the reading and the preaching, the hearing, the believing, and the responding to his holy word by his grace and faith. Last Lord's Day morning, in verses 31 to 35, we saw that today's text was prophesied by Jesus. He said, you're going to deny me. All of you are going to deny me. And when Peter denied that this was possible, Jesus said, in fact, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And Peter denied it would ever happen, but here we see that it does happen. And frankly, it happens quite emphatically. Yet Peter's denial of Jesus as foreordained by Christ ended in deep repentance that will restore him. I give that to you as the main idea of our text. Peter's denial of Jesus as foreordained by Christ ended in deep repentance that will restore him. The previous message on the text where Jesus prophesied that this would happen was, Don't hang yourself. Don't be like Judas, which is what we're going to see next week, how Judas responds to his convictions over his betraying Jesus. Don't hang yourself. Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus restored him. Jesus forgives him. Be forgiven. Be restored as you recognize how often you deny the Lord Jesus. But that does not take away from the fact that forgiveness is tied with repentance. Tied in with repentance. We often speak about faith and repentance as two sides of the same coin that the Lord uses to save and justify us and then to keep sanctifying us. Repentance grieves over sin. Repentance hates the sinful denying of Jesus. So, beloved, may you hate how much you deny Jesus. That's the message for you from this text today. May you hate how much you deny Jesus. First, be awakened to how often you do deny your Lord before the world. Peter seems to be in a bit of a... He's not quite himself, and this is the way we act when we're often sinning. He's acting in fear, he's acting in surprise. This isn't malice like Judas. It's not, I think we could even say it's not presumptuous. And he needs to be awakened to the fact that he's doing this. Be awakened to how often you deny your Lord before the world. The rooster crowed three times, and it was like an alarm clock. and he kept maybe hitting the snooze button for a moment, if you look at Mark. But it was like an alarm clock going off, and when it went off, Peter, who was asleep at the wheel, in fear, started to wake up, realize how he was going about things. He snapped out of it. He saw what he was doing. Peter was sinning greatly indeed. First, think of his bold prediction against Jesus Christ's prophecy that he would not deny Jesus. He boldly denies this will never happen. Pride comes before the fall, beloved, a lesson for us to be careful when we make our bold professions and confessions. That's often not long after we are in danger of making our greatest sins and having our deepest falls. The last time we had our text, he cut off the ear of Malchus. That would seem, again, very bold, and he's trying to support Jesus. But then he fled with all the other disciples, though he is still following in the shadows. Further, Peter denies Jesus how many times? Close, the same night. Three times. Each time you might think he would catch himself, but that's what the danger is with sin. When we do it, we're more in danger to do it again and to do it worse the next time as we see the progress, you could say, or perhaps we should say the de-evolution of things as it just gets worse and worse. Again, it's out of surprise. It's out of fear. He's thinking he can hide and watch what will happen, and he starts to get accused and exposed. And that causes panic. He doesn't want to have to deal with things in the public. He doesn't want to have to face the crowds. So he goes out of his way to deny Jesus by saying, I don't know the man. Think about that. I don't know who that is. I've never met him. Imagine all the things we've seen in the scriptures. He's one of the closest three. And in this moment of weakness and sin, he denies that he even knows Jesus twice. And he takes an oath and calls down curses upon himself and swearing and angry. I don't know him. Anything he can do to try to distance himself from the Lord Jesus there. Verses 72 and 74. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Peter lies about himself, and he denies Jesus. Perhaps he's afraid that they will come after him because he cut off the ear of Malchus. Perhaps he's embarrassed to be associated with the Nazarene, as they call Jesus. Peter himself is a Galilean, and that will betray him by his speech. But remember, being a Nazarene was considered to be born on the wrong side of the track. Here they are in the palace of the priest, high priest. Remember what Jesus said a little while ago when they couldn't stay awake in the garden. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we need to recognize that. We're willing, Peter was willing, but how weak is our flesh in the moments of crisis and panic? Things we may think we're prepared for, we prove that we're not. And it is such a contrast with Christ's oath back in verse 64. He says to the high priest, yes, it is as you say, I am the Son of God, and you'll see me, the Son of Man, coming in the clouds, sitting at the right hand of the Father. What an amazing contrast where Peter today says, I don't know the man. But even worse, what a contrast to his earlier confession in chapter 16, verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So easy to make those kinds of professions in the safety of our own people, when there's nothing to lose from it, when there's no danger directly at us. Are you not, beloved, just the same as Peter? Art thou not the man? How often do you panic in fear of the world and cover over the light of the world in your life? How often has someone used his name in vain and you remain silent? How often has the opportunity to talk about Jesus arisen, but you changed the subject or moved on for fear of what men might do to you? Right after you have made bold statements about yourself and your commitment to Christ in private fellowship, maybe in worship, maybe at some retreat, youth retreat, and you have all these passions for Jesus. And so quickly you forget all about him when you get back to the watching world. Just like Peter. What's more, every one of your sins is a direct denial of your relationship with Jesus. And every one of your sins is a direct denial of his lordship over your life. Matthew Henry says that Peter is giving us two things that we are to learn today. First of all, he is portrayed for our admonition. We are admonished to beware of denying our Lord Jesus for the same reasons, of being unprepared, making bold statements, but not being ready to count the cost. And when we are in the moment of denying Jesus out of fear and weakness. But he says, not only is Peter here for our admonition in this story, this true story, but also he is here for our imitation. That would be the end of this text. But he is also here for our imitation, and that is repentance. Be seriously sorry for your sinful denying of Jesus. Don't run away like Judas. Don't hang yourself. Don't pretend you didn't do anything. Don't avoid talking with God in your private moments and confessing before him and being very sorry. First, be awakened to how often you deny your Lord before the world, and then be seriously sorry for your sinful denying of Jesus. I think of Thomas Cranmer. In the 1500s, during the early times of the Reformation in England, he and Nicholas Radley and Hugh Latimer were involved in the Reformation, reforming the Church of England, but then Mary takes back over, and she's a diehard Catholic, and she is persecuting and killing Protestants, and so he has to watch from a window as his brethren are burned to death at the stake for their Protestant beliefs. Hugh Latimer dies quickly because of the smoke, because he's so frail. Nicholas Radley, because they didn't build the fire correctly, it's taking so long to burn, it burns his legs off while he suffers consciously. And Cranmer hears it from the window as his screams in his ears, and he's terribly frightened to ever have to suffer death like this. They build the fire bigger, and then the gunpowder that a friend gave to them around their necks blew up to spare them from the further suffering. And Cranmer is terribly, terribly afraid to suffer this kind of punishment for his Protestant views. So he gives in to the pressure and he recants. And he says, I don't believe that. He writes down, he recants to all of these important truths about Jesus Christ and salvation and justification that the Reformation stand for. And Queen Mary puts a lot of pressure on him to recant. He does. He says he denies it all. He denies Christ as Christ is given to us in the Scriptures. She decides he's going to have to die anyways. And they make a public spectacle of him in Oxford in a church. They have him on a platform. And instead of repenting, he decides to repent and go back and says, I never should have denied my Lord. I never should have denied the truth of the gospel. And they try to get him out of there because they don't want him denying the Catholic views anymore. And he runs to the place where the wood is ready to burn him. He runs toward it. He doesn't have to be led. And as they start the fire, he holds his right hand out and says, let this burn first, the hand that I use to deny my Lord Jesus. And he held it into the fire to let it burn first. So we see Peter in his response. Deep grief and hatred of what he had done. Verse 74, the second part. Verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He remembered what Jesus had said earlier in this chapter. Jesus predicted this is exactly what would happen. And when the rooster crows three times, he realizes, I've denied my Lord Jesus three times. It awakens him. Peter also remembers the word of Jesus. God awoke his mind and convicted his heart. And he was no longer in denial of Jesus because he was no longer in denial of himself in relation to Jesus. He got alone. and he wept bitterly. He cried hard. And I think that's something for you and I to think more about as we go through this. When's the last time you've had a good hard cry because of your sins, particularly of just denying Jesus outright in the marketplace when there have been many opportunities to declare him? He wept bitterly for being such an unfaithful friend. The Greek word for this weeping bitterly has the idea of mental anguish. Or as Matthew Henry says, his sorrow was serious. You know, beloved, we live in a culture today where we're not supposed to ever think we're guilty. We certainly are never supposed to feel guilty. But we are guilty. And we should grieve over our guilt before the Lord. We should take our sins so seriously, so sorrowfully. Not only was it regret for being exposed, it was real remorse for turning away from his Savior and Lord. It was real repentance unto life. And I share with you a reminder of what this is, what repentance unto life is. It's what we're seeing in Peter. I quote from you the Westminster Larger Catechism, question and answer 76, or rather the answer. Repentance unto life is a saving grace wrought in the heart of a sinner by the Spirit and the Word of God, whereby out of the sight and sense, not only of the danger, but also the filthiness and odiousness of his sins, and upon the apprehension of God's mercy in Christ, to such as are penitent, he so grieves for and hates his sins, as that he turns from them all to God, purposing and endeavoring constantly to walk with him in all the ways of new obedience. While I encourage you to be meditating and thinking about all of what is in that answer, I highlight for you this today with Peter as our example. Repentance unto life is having a sight and sense of the filthiness of your sins, how dirty they are, the odiousness of your sins, how much they stink before God, and they should stink before you. And therefore, you should grieve over your sins. You should be so sorry for them. And you should hate them. You should absolutely hate what you have done to Jesus. How you have denied your Lord. With that being said, beloved, if Peter fell from so high a place and yet got up again by God's grace, so can you. That's the purpose of repentance, to restore you to God through Christ, to bring you back to him. True sorrow brings you back to God through Christ. Though you forsake him, he never forsakes you. There is always a place to repent. There's always a way to be restored. Be so very sorry for your sins. Deeply sad, even to tears. Grieve over them. Cry over them. Hate your sins fiercely. And be glad that just like Peter, though you deny Christ often, yet everyone sees that you are with him. Everyone sees that you are with his people. Even the way you speak gives you away. As much as you foolishly fail him and his church, yet everyone else recognizes you're one of them. Yet everyone else recognizes nonetheless. You are Christ's and he is yours. Your speech at other times exposes who you are, not a denier, but a confessor of Christ. You may follow in the shadows and deny him in the marketplace at times, yet you can't help but continue to get up and follow after Jesus, and that should be what's happening in your heart right now. You hate, but you have to come back to Jesus. To whom shall you go? He has the words of eternal life. Be found with his people. May God bring your sins to your mind by the crowing of the roosters in your life to remind you of what You sometimes are forgetting as you walk around in a fog and need to be snapped out of your slumber. May he make you sensitive to your devastating sins so that you will be sanctified in deep repentance by the remembrance of his word that he has spoken to you and that he speaks again. And this is seen in Peter. Christ affirms him 3 times in the end of John's gospel. So he affirms you again today. He says, feed my sheep. Show you love me. Just as Peter does not hang himself, but repents himself, so should you. And later, here is how glorious we see Peter restored. We see that he still has his moments and his problems. But later, his Pentecost sermon in Acts chapter 2, God through him feeds thousands of souls that they come to conviction and repentance and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Scriptures. It's marvelous, isn't it? This same Peter today will be used to preach the Pentecost sermon. Because Jesus had looked at Peter there with mercy. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 61, after Peter wakes up with the rooster crowing, he looks and he sees he sees Jesus looking at him. A look of love, a look of mercy, a look of forgiveness, a look of reassurance, a reminder, I told you you would do this, but I've prayed for you. William Hendrickson says, the look of Christ, his eyes were full of pain, yet also full of pardon. So they are to you. So he does yet still to you. He calls on you with his eyes of pain for how you deny him in so many ways, also with pardon, that you'd be restored, that you'd come to repentance and be restored. Charles Spurgeon writes this, if any one of us has denied the Lord that bought him, let him look up to him who now looks down from heaven, ready to pardon the backslider. If you need any more help, go to Psalm 86, verse 5, the Lord is ready to forgive. If you need more help, go to Psalm 51, where David repents of his sin of adultery and murder, and yet is still used of the Lord. It is amazing grace, is it not? As you look up, may it be real, like Peter. As you apprehend God's mercy in Christ, may you agonize over your constant abandoning him. As the cock crows to expose your sinful denial, may you remember Jesus has forgiven you of each and every time. He's prayed for you, and he's planned for it to happen. Though you determinedly denied him, may your heart ache. Get alone. Shed tears. Be utterly disgusted with your fearful forsaking him. And be glad for grace. But do grieve. Repent unto life. Say you are sorry. Be so very sorry. And be thankful how Jesus will never forsake you, and by his grace, and for your cleansing, and for your good, hate how much you deny Jesus. Plenty of things you could spend time hating. Plenty of situations you could hate about others. Here's what you and I can spend our time most fruitfully doing. Hate how much I deny Jesus. Hate how much you deny Jesus. Cry over it. Let him pick you up and be restored. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we do hate our sins. We cry out to you for mercy. We look to you and see you looking back at us as Peter would have seen it, with blood all over your face and bruises and dirt. And yet through that, your eyes of mercy and grace and sorrow as a man of sorrows looking back at us. Let us remember to look further and see you will soon be on the cross because of these sins. to forgive us of them. So, O Lord, let us be cleansed by crying out. Let us be cleansed by admitting before you our horrible ways we deny you in thought, word, and deed, by what we do and what we leave undone. Not loving you with our whole heart. Not loving our neighbor as ourself. And for sake of you, O Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, forgive us, renew us, lead us to walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. May we live a life of constant repentance, though we would hear the roosters crow in our lives over things that remind us of our past sins. Let us always hear also your mercy. Go and sin no more. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And yet let us also hate our sins, that we would be protected from repeating them. We confess we love our sins too much, and we love you too little. We recognize from the scriptures that to sin is to show hatred toward you. Thus let us hate our sins, and let us love you more and keep your commandment. Lord, we cry out that you would give us a greater courage and power by you strengthening us in the marketplace, that you would help us to give a good witness to the world around us, that we would talk about Jesus Christ, that we would be less inclined to talk about things of the world, more inclined to talk about things of heaven, to call people to you, Lord Jesus. And that as we are identified as Christians, that we would wear your name proudly, not pride in ourselves, but may we be proud of you, our King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. May we welcome and respond eagerly to the opportunities to talk about Jesus, expecting we may be persecuted, expecting we may be mocked, just as you were unto your death for our salvation and our eternal life. Let us repent unto life, O Lord. Let us not be like Judas that we will read of soon. Let us be like Peter, and let us learn from his mistakes, and let us grow in learning from his response to you. If he and David can fall from such a high place and yet be forgiven and restored, you forgive us, but you bring us back to you through the same means of grace, repentance. Indeed, did you not preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Repent. And was that not the message you gave to your apostles and disciples? Repent. Let us repent before you and gladly admit that we need you and show our hatred for our sins. Cast them down to be lifted up in you. We do pray, O Lord, that you would restore us and cause us to walk in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And we close praying together as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.